Evening, everybody. I'm very loath to call what I've got to share a sermon. It's not profound, it's not deep. It's nothing you've never heard before. And yet there was just something that the Lord laid heavily in my heart, which I just want to share with you. And it's really to encourage each one of us. You might remember last Sunday morning when I was leading worship, just as the children were going out, I was sharing with them the importance of an acorn and how that their lives are fields to drop seeds into so that they can grow. Well, I'm always a visual aid man, and so I've brought not an acorn today, but something else from my garden. You will recognize a pine cone. I've got tremendous love for trees. I always have done, and as soon as I left school, I was employed as a nurseryman. So we learned how to propagate, we learned how to sow, we learned how to graft, layer, anything that meant creating new life. So my love of trees has been very long and interesting. In 1973, some of you weren't even born, Judy and I would go up into the Gett pine forest. We were building a bungalow, not at the Gett, but during the time that we had signed contracts to build a bungalow, wood went up 100% in price. And so we were really struggling to finance a house that we had agreed that we were going to pay the builder to build. So me, with my entrepreneurial cap on, decided that we were going to grow pine trees. The island had been devastated by Dutch elm disease. The states had set up a cheap tree scheme whereby you could go and buy certain varieties of trees to replace those that were lost in the elm disease, pine trees being one of them. So Judy and I would go to the Gett. I would climb up in the trees, she would be below with my crash helmet on, and I would be dropping these. I mean, you can imagine, without a crash helmet, if that landed on your head, you'd know about it. And we would grow round about 1,000 to 2,000 pine trees a year. And you can actually see some of the pine trees that I've grown. You know the house at the Morsau with the great big windmill in the garden? Well, I looked after that garden for 11 years, starting in 1971. The majority, not all of them, but the majority of the pine trees that you see in that garden were grown in our lounge. And even though Storm Ciaran did its best to destroy so many trees, I cycled past there the other day, and to my relief, in a way, every one of my trees was still standing. Also, 30 years ago, I had the privilege of being able to replant where my father's greenhouse stood behind our house. And I had a blank canvas, and so I wanted to plant native trees. Indeed, this pine cone has come from one of the trees that's growing in our garden. Why am I saying all this? Trees play a central role in Scripture. I think God likes trees. In fact, I know God likes trees, because when he looked at what he created, he saw that it was good. And it's interesting that right at the very beginning of time, when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, there were certain trees in that garden that were permitted. There were certain trees that were not permitted to take food from. In fact, he says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, it would help if I had my glasses on. Actually, I've got them written here. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you will surely die. Right at the beginning of time, trees played a central part and ultimately played a part in man's fall. Now, there's been all sorts of theories as to what trees those were. Were they an apple tree? Well, I hope not, because I like apple trees, as you know. We don't know. We don't know what tree it is. But it was forbidden. Interesting, that's right at the very beginning of your Bible. If you go right to the very end of the Bible, to Revelation 22, verse 2, again, trees feature largely. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the midst. And of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. I'm looking forward to not only seeing that tree, but eating the fruit of that tree. Because that will not be forbidden. Trees are significant. You might remember that Zacchaeus climbed up a tree to see Jesus. I don't know if any of you can remember, but we used to, when we were in Sunday school, learn scripture by singing songs. And we used to sing one. Zacchaeus was a very, very little man. A very little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree, for he wanted the Lord to see. And as the Saviour passed by, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house for two. Wonderful way to learn scripture. But yeah, a sycamore tree. The cedars of Lebanon played a vital role when Solomon built the temple. And they're mentioned in various areas of the Bible as being significant trees. And above all, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ not only worked with wood as a carpenter, and trees were his livelihood, he wouldn't have got much work without a tree, but ultimately died on one. We've looked tonight at the sacrifice that our Lord made. He died on a tree. But I want to encourage us this evening by looking at two references about trees, and you will know them. They are so, so familiar. The first one you find is in Psalm 1. Psalm 1, a wonderful illustration of trees. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He, that person, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I love that word meditate, because that word meditate is, you probably heard this before, is the same word that describes what a cow does when it's eating grass. You may or may not know, a cow has got four stomachs. It'll eat grass and it'll chew it, swallow it, fill up one stomach. But then it's got the ability to bring up the grass that it hasn't fully digested. And that's why it's called chewing the cud. It chews over the grass. And this same word describes meditating on God's word. that this is not a word that you just read and then walk away, but when you're quiet, you mull it over. You consider it. You allow it to nourish you, to provide sustenance for you. In times of quiet, when nobody knows what's going on, when you're walking, you're mulling over. I do it when I'm mowing, walking up and down the garden. This is where the Lord talks to me most. Meditating. And it says that the person who spends their time doing this, morning and evening, which is meaning if you do it morning and evening, there's chances are you're doing it in between as well, you're going to prosper in all you do. Because you're like a tree planted by water. It's going to benefit you. It's going to cause you to grow. It's going to cause you to flourish. It's going to do you good. And it's not hard. When you see a cow chewing the cud, it's relaxed. It's enjoying the moment as much as it. Never seen a cow with a smile on its face, but I guess that's when they're at their most happy. When they're just chewing, mulling over, enjoying what they participated on earlier. You know, all those years of Sunday school, learning memory verses, of the word sinking in is a benefit. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, but it's got to be in there to begin with. And so you digest it. And those moments when you need it most, when you can't find, well, I'm not sure where it is, but I know this verse. You prosper in all you do. And Jesus said in the reading that Lois read to us this evening, Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Folks, we are called to bear fruit. And that may sound hard work. It may sound like it needs effort. I was reckoning up the other night. I've made 50 gosh-may-lars this autumn. A huge amount of apple pies, apple crumbles. No wonder we're all on Weight Watchers back home. But to make those gosh-may-lars, I needed apples. And I've got apple trees in my garden. Now, those apple trees, they bore much fruit. And so I was able to make what I've done because they bore much fruit. But all those trees had to do to bear much fruit was to abide. If you abide in me and I in you, you shall bear forth much fruit. Now my apple trees, I pruned them in the spring once the frosts had gone. They just sat there in the ground. I don't feed them. I prune them. The blossom comes out in April. The bees pollinate that blossom. And then you see the fruit just starting to set, about as big as my thumbnail. Then the leaves come out. Then the growth starts to sprout. Then I give it another pruning. Just like it says in John 15. He prunes. Why? To bear forth more fruit. All the time the tree is just sitting there. Abiding. No effort. Just drinking up the nutrients. Living the way it was designed to live. Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. I make the conscious decision of what tree branches I allow to remain. It's the ones with fruit buds. so that it bears forth even more fruit. But the tree only has to abide. And folks, when we're called to bear forth much fruit, it's not hard work. Not if we're doing it properly. Because Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear forth much fruit. Simple as that. It's not an A to Z of how you win souls for the kingdom. It's living the life. Walking the walk. Abiding. Meditating. Drinking it in. Letting it out. There's another passage that speaks about trees. Another significant passage. Jesus was still in Nazareth. And he arrived one day at the synagogue, and I don't know how all these scrolls were stored or distributed, but he asked the priest, could we have Isaiah, the scroll, please? I want to read Isaiah, and I'm not sure, probably not even in chapters in those days, I don't know. But he found the right scroll, and he read these words, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Interesting, it was Jubilee year when he was reading that. Jubilee year meant all those that were slaves, happened every 7 years, had the ability to be going free. All the debts were paid. Isn't that significant that on the eve of Jesus' ministry, he should read these words about setting the captives free, about opening the prison, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And Jesus sat down and said, today, you've seen those words come true. But folks, he's calling us too to become and be trees of righteousness. Or as some translations got, and I like it even better, oaks of righteousness. I've got an oak tree in my garden. I've been staggered. It was that high when I planted it. And it's 30 foot high now. But when you picture an oak, they survive for hundreds of years. An oak specifically talks of strength, stability, longevity, security, a place of safety. And God has called us to be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. So folks, if you're wondering why you are where you are right now, and I don't mean literally sat where you are in New Life Church, but in your life, if you're wondering why you are where you are, it's because God's planted you there. And you have got people that I will never know in your life. You will have opportunities that I will never get because you've been planted. Isn't that a wonderful word? It's deliberate. Some seeds just scatter and they grow wherever they fall. But when you plant something, you've chosen where it's going to go. I don't know if you remember the wonderful poem that Russell Kefler wrote I'm going to read it to you tonight because somebody here needs to hear that, really feel that. Somebody here needs to hear that. He called this poem, "You Are Who You Are," for a reason. You are who you are for a reason. You're part of an intricate plan. You're a precious and perfect unique design called God's special woman or man. You look like you look for a reason. Our God made no mistake. He knit you together within the womb. You're just what he wanted to make. The parents you had were the ones he chose. And no matter how you feel, they were custom designed with God's plan in mind. And they bear the master's seal. Know that trauma you faced was not easy. And God wept that it hurt you so. But it was allowed to shape your heart so that in his likeness you'd grow. You are who you are for a reason. You've been formed by the Master's rod. You are who you are, beloved, because there is a God. But why has God planted me where I am? Well, the clue is in that verse in Isaiah, that he might be glorified, that we are trees of righteousness. Yes, and that's nothing of ours. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. The righteousness that he gives us, they are garments of praise. They're beauty for ashes. There's an exchange. There's oil instead of mourning. But we're planted so that he only might be glorified. We're going back to the pine cone. How is God glorified in our lives? Well, this pine cone isn't going to achieve very much like this. It's tightly closed. When we came back from the get with our pine cones, we would put them in front of the fire where it was hot, and the heat would open up the pine cone. In fact, this one this afternoon, I'd put by the radiator just in waiting. I'd put it by the front door so I couldn't possibly forget bringing it. And even within 2 hours, the top few cells up here were starting to open. And so we'd open them and shake out all the seeds, and in one of these cones is about 150 seeds. There's a lot of potential in a pine cone. Folks, there's a lot of potential in you and in me. My pine tree at home has got in the region of 400 or 500 pine cones. If each one of those pine cones has got 150 seeds, imagine the potential in that one tree. Folks, you and I in our lifetime so far have had thousands of conversations. We've met hundreds of people. We've cooked thousands of meals. All of these are seeds that can be used for the glory of God. Cards sent, telephone calls made. You might think that's nothing in God's hands. You think about the little boy that came along with 5 loaves and 2 fish. There isn't a single word that's recorded about what that guy said that day. But we all remember what he did. And blessed the lives of over 5,000 people. And it may not always be what we say we do that matters, but who we are. We're trees of righteousness. That's nothing small, folk. With God in the mix, that's big. trees of righteousness. There is no limit to what God can do if we abide in him. And that's all we have to do, is abide in God. Jesus summed it up so well. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? That they may see your good deeds, yes. That's only half the story. May your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You can't imagine, can you, that a conversation, a phone call, something that you make can be a seed in the Master's hand, but it can be. We're going to start a new week this week. It used to make me laugh because when I was at work, and that was too many years ago now, you used to always meet the CEO. We used to meet down in the ground car park and share the lift together, and he'd say, good morning, Rod. And I'd say, good morning, Giorgio. Another wonderful opportunity to excel. And he used to laugh and smile. But you know, that sank in. When I was retired and the CEO took me out for lunch, that was the one thing that he quoted. It's an opportunity to excel. Every day is. Folks, let's excel to the glory of God. For we are his trees of righteousness. We're planted by the Lord. But just abide in him and everything else just happens. Bless you this week. Amen.